Good morning, everybody. The shmooze should be a schus and neshama of all the kedoshim that left this world yesterday after Rosh Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect all of Klal Yisrael throughout the world and send a full shlema to all the cholim. Keep on hearing about more and more cholim. So, obviously, we're supposed to wake up quite a bit. We also know that Ein Paronias Bala Olam El B'Shvili Yisrael. Bad things only happen in the world for us, which means that it's a message to us. So when the magnitude of, when you think about it, actually going back to 2 weeks ago, right now it's clear whether it was a mishap or not, the Russian plane seemed to have been terror related. Anything about France, anything about what's going on in the world in general, we're supposed to be waking up. And there was obviously a number of weeks where there was no blood that was spilled, Jewish blood, recently, but unfortunately yesterday was certainly not the case. And we have to take heed and try to be mechazik ourselves and listen to the messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us. In this week's parasha, when Laban finds out that Yaakov has arrived, he's so strong that he was able to pick up this boulder, this huge, huge rock that usually took all the shepherds to pick up. So Laban comes running to Yaakov, and Rashi tells us, why is Laban running to Yaakov? So he runs to him because he assumes that if they're coming to marry, try to marry off Yaakov to his daughters, so they probably have a lot of money, like Eliezer, camels at least. So he ran, Vayaros across, the Rashi says, Vayaros across, so he went to get money. And he hugged him. Why did he hug him? Because he assumed that he had money in his hand, right? Which he apparently saw he didn't have any money in his hand, so he hugged him. He's going to find the jewels. So maybe he has gold. But you know, Asher Chloe kissed him because he realized there was nothing, you know, underneath his jacket. So he kissed him. So maybe there would be some sort of pearls inside. And he realized no. But he sapped a love him. And he told Laban, what did he tell him? That the reason why he has nothing on him is because Eliphaz robbed him. So, I saw it brought down in the name of the Shari Simcha, in the name of the Lukute Bas Lukute, a fascinating taina that Laban had on Yaakov. And why was he so convinced that there had to be money? He didn't buy the whole Eliphaz pshat, that he stole all of his money. Why? I never thought of this. This is an unbelievable thing. If he was so strong that he could pick up a boulder, a rock, that many shepherds together were needed to pick up the rock, so when one guy called Eliphaz comes and starts up with you, if Yaakov was so strong, Yaakov should have beaten him up, or killed him, and moved on his way. Why did he have to give up his money? Unbelievable kasha, unbelievable point. Makes no sense. That's why Laban was so perplexed. He couldn't figure out. The guy has to have money. The whole story has to be false. Because Yaakov, if he's so strong to pick up the rock, he certainly can withstand the pressure of Eliphaz, or the threat of Eliphaz. Now let's understand Laban. Laban is now 100 years old. What's the cheshbon? And we see he's seemingly a lowlife, right? Here he is, he's running after money. He's 100 years old, he's older, and he's about to try to marry off his daughters, and all he cares about is himself and his money. And how do you know he's 100 years old, right? We know that when Rivka left, she was 3 years old. Right, and at that point, right, so she was 3 years old. And then she was barren for 20 years. Then Yaakov was born after 23 years of her life. And now Yaakov is 77. So we know 77 plus 23 is 100 years old. So he's 100 years old. And Yaakov comes and he says to the shepherds, where are you guys from? The shepherds say, we're from Haran. So he says to them, do you know my uncle? You know my uncle Laban? Hayidatu is Laban ben Nachor. Do you know him? Yidano, we know him. They don't say much about him. Mashman, they don't want to speak Lashon Hara. That's what it's Mashman. They don't want to say anything bad. And then he says, and then the right away says, Shalom. They don't say Shalom Lo. They say Shalom, and then right away, you hear Rachel beat Baal Yimetzon. And they right away skip to Rachel. And they say, Rachel's coming with its own. How come they don't respond about Laban? It sounds like they know he's not such a great person. And they veer away from saying Lashon Hara. All they say about him, Shalom, peace. And by the way, here's his daughter Rachel. And in the same conversation between Yaakov and the shepherds, listen to what happens. It says, Yaakov is Rachel Baslovan Ochi Imo. And Yaakov saw who? Rachel? Not Stam Rachel. Baslovan Ochi Imo. And then it says, the son Lovan Achi Imo. The son of Lovan, the brother of his mother. That's stone. Who's stone? Again, Lovan Achi Imo. Three times in that pasuk, it says Lovan Achi Imo. We didn't know that already. Three times. All in that pasuk. What's the repetition? We don't know that Lovan is the brother of Rachel. And you have to tell us who's sheep they are twice? That's really kasha number two. And the first kasha, just to bring it home, is that it makes no sense that just to solidify question number one, that Lovan was so perplexed about it. If Yaakov was so strong, how come he didn't beat up or kill Eliphaz? Now, I'm not sure if I ever saw this. The Medrash tells us that what did Yaakov tell Eliphaz? Eliphaz says, I got to kill you. So Yaakov told him, listen, if you're going to kill me, one of the descendants of Avraham Avinu, his children are going to have to go down to Mitzrayim and be Avodim. So if you kill me, it's going to be you. So you might as well not kill me. Because if you kill me, that's going to be you. You're going to be the descendant of Avraham, is going to have to go down to Mitzrayim and be an Eved. Now, so, but what did he harp on? Eliphaz is made of Eli, to me, Paz. Paz is another word for gold. So Yaakov used the fact that Eliphaz was a Baal Taiva, had a Taiva for money. He says, here, I'll give you my money, and I'll be like I'm dead, and I'll leave. So what was the answer? So the reason why, even though Yaakov perhaps was strong, he decided not to use it. No, the cash is still there. So the question is, why did he do that? Why did he have to give him the money? Right? If he's so strong, he didn't have to even give up his money. He didn't have to even give it at least as a teretz. Why he shouldn't want to kill me? He should have killed him on the spot. So this seems to be a discrepancy. Was Yaakov really strong and powerful? Or not? Because if he was strong and powerful, he shouldn't beat up Eliphaz. That's question number one. Again, question number one is, why did Yaakov not kill or beat up Eliphaz and save himself? Because he was so strong. And number two is, why is there this tremendous stress about whose sheep they were and about Rachel? It's all about Lavan Achimah, Lavan Achimah. What's going on over there? And the third question Chaim Shulevitz asks is that when we daven for Geshem, we said the following thing. We said, Yichad Lev, Yaakov dedicated his heart, V'gal Eben, he rolled the stone, V'piv V'er Mayim, Babur Altim Mayim. In Yaakov's merit, please don't withhold water to us. Now, what are we asking? We're asking for merit from Yaakov. What did Yaakov do? That he picked up a stone? That he was strong? Very strange. Very, very strange. What are we tapping into Yaakov? Because Yaakov rolled the stone over the well, that's why you should give us water. Where's the schus over there? So, I saw the pshat. I imagine this is the pshat from the Sefer Motok Or. I imagine this is from the Shari Simcha and Lekute versus Lekute. That the pshat is as follows. I mean, Reb Chaim Shulevitz also starts off the answer. He says, Yichad Lev is the first word in the phrase that we describe Yaakov Avinu. And we use his chus to get water. That we should have Geshem because he was Yichad Lev. Yichad Lev means he dedicated his heart. He dedicated his heart. What was special about Yaakov? Not that he had strength to take off the stone, but rather what? He dedicated his heart. Now, why did he dedicate his heart? So that's what I think that Shari Simcha from the Kudu is saying, that what? Yaakov Avinu only used his strength after what? After he realized that this girl was Rachel, the daughter of Lavan, his mother's brother. It was a form of kibud aim. It was kibud aim. There was no other reason why he had strength to do what he did, except for the fact that he was in the midst of kibud aim. That is to say, that Stam to defend himself, to be strong like that, to start up, to fight back with the Eliphaz, that he didn't have strength. But to be mekayim a mitzvah, to mekayim a mitzvah of kibud aim, by helping out his first cousin, and helping out which is the daughter of his mother's brother, all of a sudden it became a mitzvah, then he had the strength. When it comes to mekayim a mitzvah, what are we tapping into? We're not tapping into, oh, Yaakov is so strong, so give us Geshem. No. The fact that he saw that there was an opportunity to do a mitzvah, he had to do mekayim a mitzvah, and what did he do when he realized there was a mitzvah to be done? Yichad Lev. He dedicated his heart, he gave it his all. He gave it his all, then that's why he was able to pick up and roll a stone that usually took many, many shepherds to do. Person sees that something's important to him, something's a mitzvah, that he has to be kaim, and not only that, the stress that was given over there was that Lavan was a bad guy. And yet, afal pichin, even though Lavan was a bad guy, because of the mitzvah of kibud aim, Yaakov was willing to go out of his way and work super hard and push himself to take off the rock because of the mitzvah of kibud aim. We see a similar idea by Yaakov, you know, he doesn't sleep for 14 years. How's that possible? Says Reb Chaim Shlomo, it's the same yisod. If you're focused and you're dedicated and you want to get something done, so then you can do it. You can do supernatural things. Rachmana Litzlan, when there's a fire somewhere, people have supernatural kochos. When people are under, right? When people are under, they say, right? The shmooze always says over that maisa that this woman who picked up a car to save her grandchild or something, and right, and she wouldn't meet with them. Why didn't she want to meet with anybody? Because she felt bad. Like, here I was able, when I was under stress, I was in a very intense situation, traumatic situation, I was able to do something, but the rest of my life, I didn't do anything with my life. Which means we don't know what is hidden in the kochos that are hidden inside of us. Yaakov, you know, once he realized that he had to go learn and he couldn't waste any time, he was able to not sleep for 14 years. He didn't even sleep on a stone because he only slept over here. Here it describes how he slept on a stone. And he was able to use his physical strength to take off a huge, huge boulder. You see that a person never knows his true kochos inside. But when he realizes it's something important, he can do it. It's brought down in the name of the Chofetz Chaim says the name of the Gra. That's what it means when it says David HaMelech said. David HaMelech says, "So sinochi alim resecha kimoti shalor rav." I rejoice over your words, Hashem, your Torah, like somebody who counts money, like somebody who finds a tremendous booty. What's the chat? If you mamish realize that when you're learning, it's as valuable as gold and silver. So, Mamela, you push yourself to the maximum. You push yourself to the maximum. That's the same yisod. Just one more nekuda over here is that Yaakov Avinu, we know that the Medrash tells us that when he stopped in Shem Ve'Ever and Lynn for 14 years, the Medrash tells us, V'shomel Eitz HaChacham, that Yaakov was listening to his parents' request and mission to go to Lavan. Now, if you tell me that Yaakov listened to his parents to go, and he took a 14-year detour, you would think, that's not listening to your parents. If your parents tell you to go to visit Lavan and go get married, and you take a 14-year detour, that's not listening. LMI what? Yaakov understood that if he's going to the house of Lavan, he needs to prepare himself. He needs 14 years in Yeshiva Sheva Aver to go be able to survive Beis Lavan. And that's part and parcel of going. So, I think this is tremendous. Tremendous vort. Again, just to repeat the vort part. The vort part is how could it be that he was so powerful he could take off a rock, but he couldn't defend himself against the Levites? How come there's a stress about who this girl was and about Lavan, Lavan, Lavan? And how come we say that in the discourse of Yaakov's strength of taking off the rock, we should get Geshem? The answer is that the reason why we stress Lavan is because of the mitzvah of Kibbutz Eim. Once it was a mitzvah, Yaakov Avinu was able to apply his strength and dedicate his strength. What? To go ahead and do something supernatural and take the rock off. And the idea that he was able to do that by the Yeshiva Shemir for 14 years. And here comes the very, very hard muster. The person has to ask himself, is he living in a situation of Vayuchad Leif? Are we dedicating our heart? Are we pushing the pedal to the metal? Are we giving our maximum strength? I also ask myself that question. Every time you sit down and learn during the morning seder, afternoon seder, night seder, whenever it is, when you're with when you're around your friends, when you're davening, are you in a matzav of a yichad leiv? Are you applying yourself to the max? Have you tapped into your inner sources of strength? It's a very, very scary question. Very hard question to answer. But yichad leiv, you realize this is what he has to do? He did it. Took many human beings to do it. Didn't make a difference. Once you have the realization that it has to be done, you do it. You know, we're living in very scary times, very serious and real times. And on top of that, you guys, Shana Bet boys, I've been here already a number of months. Unfortunately, some of you, for whatever reason, may only have another 2 months or so in this yeshiva, in Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. The only thing you have to worry about is your learning and maybe your Shabbos plans, but essentially you can totally stay. Like, what's there to be busy with? I understand people are accustomed to follow the news very well and follow other forms of entertainment. But a person has to ask himself, the fact that you're in yeshiva, hopefully for, a number of, and again, I'm not even going to promote Shana Gimel. The only thing I'm going to push is till Pesach. That's the only thing I'm saying. Whether it's, 2 months or 5 months, this is like a life, the opportunity of a lifetime. Now's the time, v'yichad leif. I mean, now's the time. If Yaakov Avinu was able to not sleep for 14 years and able to pick up the rock, you guys can certainly, sit down and v'yichad leif and focus 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon. There's no question about it. So what I'm saying is two points. Point number one is that this is your life. Mr. Shem, you live to 120, and the foundation of your life, like what else is there in life besides serving at the Kaddish Baruch Hu? As we see, life is so temporary. Life is so fleeting. It's in seconds, everything can change. Everything. So what are we here for? We're here to just have fun. We're here to make a living. We have to make a living, certainly. We have to make a living. There's no question about it. You have to support a family. No question about it. But ultimately, it's like we're at a wedding hall. This is what Gemara says. Right? You're at a wedding and you have the smorgasbord. And there's only a certain amount of time to grab the food. And when, the smorgasbord is over, it's over. Chatuf ve'achil, chatuf ve'achil, the Gemara says. Just grab as many Torah mitzvahs as you can. And I'm not saying you guys should, say, okay, Mom, Dad, I'm not going to college, I'm not going to university, I'm staying in yeshiva for the rest of my life. Absolutely, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, yichad leiv, dedicate yourself to the next number of months and say, I'm here. I might as well make the most of every single day and every single Seder. Push it to the max. That's what Yaakov Avinu did. When Yaakov Avinu realized, this is a mitzvah, this is what's important in life, this is what's going to be eternal. So he did it. And this is a very, very hard question. Are we pushing it to the max? And when you think about what's going on in the world, this thing, an email went around a month and a half ago or so about this kid who went up to Shemayim or something, and he saw what was going on. He said, like, Mashiach's on his way, and the only people that are going to survive are the people that are tzaddikim, that are doing Torah mitzvot, and everybody else is not going to survive. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this email. Okay, whatever. So let's assume, okay, I think at that point it was said it was going to happen any day or something, Mashiach's coming the second. There's certainly a lot of truth to it. But this is like, these are the times. These are the crunch times. One would say, it's the next few months. Who knows what's going on in the world? Let me just cut myself off to a certain degree from, you got to be normal, but let me just super dedicate myself to being the best Eved Hashem I can be. Why? Because Mashiach's at the doorstep. Klal Yisrael is under tremendous pain. The world is under tremendous... A lot of things going on in the world. On behalf of myself, my family, my community, all Klal Yisrael, let me push the pedal to the metal. And you won't lose. So the fear of, okay, maybe fall, I'll become too firm. Don't worry, I'll make sure... Talk to me, I'll make sure you guys, you don't become too firm. Don't become too intense. You can stay normal. But it means that every chakra is serious. Every morning sitter is serious. Every lunch is break is done. Play a little ball. Do this. It's serious. It's 3 o'clock. Mincha. 3 o'clock. Afternoon sitter. Musa sitter. Maariv. Night sitter. You can make your whole life serious. Mamish. And you're maximizing your time here. You're dedicating yourself. V'yichad leiv. You're pushing yourself to the max. Right? A person has to ask himself. I know one of the other. I think Roy Schneider may have spoken about this. Right? When it comes to perhaps other pursuits in your life. Right, whether it's your athletic, career or athletic, things, and perhaps in business areas, perhaps there you may be more inclined. It's a scary thing, and this is the story about this student from Rav Nachum Pritzovitz. The idea that he couldn't wake up in the morning for chakras in yeshiva, but he could wake up for his plane, and he daven and he shouldn't wake up because it's going to be a big question on him in Shemayim. So, a person has to ask himself. If I'm able to push the pedal to the metal in my athletics or in my desire to do well in business and so on and so forth, what about my Avodas Hashem, which is certainly by far, far and wide, the most eternal and the most significant part of his life? That's really what a person has to ask himself. So, I just want to say a little bit, maybe I'll just take off the recorder.